day. And we do thank you for your presence here, your presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're continually doing in us. Lord, we just pray that you'd visit your people today. Dwell in our hearts. And place your word deep inside us. Open up heaven for us this morning, Lord, please. Send forth your word that does not return void, that fulfills everything you send it out to do. Bless your people today, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, pick one. I have two. Two sermons today. Do half of each. Well, I'm going to start with one. We're going to see where it goes. See what the Lord wants to do here this morning. Okay, our opening scripture was Matthew 10, 1 through 7. If you weren't here for it, basically it talks about the disciples. It gives their names and who they are. Just an interesting group of people. Are you ready for a Hebrew lesson? I'm going to share a phrase with you. Hinei matov, umanaim shevet akim gam yakad. Hinei matov, umanaim shevet akim gam yakad. It's a Paul Wilbur song. Hinei matov, behold how good. The rest of it, it's actually from Psalms 133:1. It's behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I think that's important. God thinks that's important. Obviously, he put it in his word. So where are we historically, chronologically? As I've mentioned many, many times here, I don't subscribe to any of the theories about when we're going to get out of here. Because I have enough doubt regarding both of them that I can't be sure, and I'm not going to tell you which one it is. Study the Word, study the Scriptures, and decide for yourself. But I will say this much. Starting here in the United States, probably around 10 o'clock, and also tomorrow night in Jerusalem, as there's three stars in the sky, as the moon starts to rise, for 2 days is the Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets are we talked about trumpets the other day, or a couple weeks ago, about how important they are. They signal something. They sound an alarm. They call to action. They call to march. They also announce something God's going to do. Many people believe that during the Feast of Trumpets is when the Lord's going to come back and get his people. I have a tendency to believe that. In fact, I believe it very strongly. Am I 100% certain? No, because God can do whatever he wants. But what they do when they figure out, it's a 2-day celebration, a 2-day observance. They have to make it 2 days because they're not sure. The moon has to be just right when it rises up. And they have to say, there it is. So they make it 2 days so they won't make a mistake of when it is. In other words, nobody knows the hour or the day. Have you heard that before? Jesus talks about when he's coming back to get his people. Nobody knows the hour or the day. He talks about lightning and thunder going from the east to the west. In other words, going from east of Jerusalem to the west, there's going to be shofars sounding. It's going to be like a relay, one after the other, until it gets to the Jerusalem, and then the last trumpet will sound. Does that sound familiar to you? I could go on and on about it. Anyway, I tend to think that there's a very good chance that we're not going to be here after a couple days from now. Or it'll be next year. Or, but who thinks we're getting incredibly close? Read the newspapers. Well, that's what they do. They still make newspapers? So what does that tell us? What I've always believed is whether it comes before the tribulation, whether it comes in the middle of the tribulation, when it comes after the tribulation, when he comes back to get us, be ready. Those two words. That's all I'll preach on it. Be ready. Because we are getting close. And I'm not going to say what year for sure. There's just something. You know, when you're getting ready, I never had this happen to me, but I've been around people that this happened to. When they get ready to give birth, they have labor pains. This world is having labor pains. And the contractions are very close together, aren't they? Anyway, we have to be ready. And part of what we do today with our communion, it's getting ready, isn't it? It's refocusing. It's recommitting. It's turning our hearts to Him. It's looking at what's important and ignoring what isn't important. We have an interesting congregation here. We have a lot of different people. We have a lot of beautiful people. And I love every one of you. You all have incredible value to me. You all have incredible value to God. We see this also with Jesus' disciples, the apostles, and not just them. There was 12 disciples, but he also had an awful lot of followers that just were with him. How did they get along? They had to look beyond the person working next to them and look to the one they were working for. They had to look beyond incredible differences, obvious faults. Can you imagine some of the private conversations they had? You know, Andrew always smells like fish. And his brother Simon, he's always putting his foot in his mouth. And talk about anger. You know, one of these days he's going to hurt somebody real bad with that sword he's carrying. He might even cut somebody's ear off. Why do we have a tax collector among us? We're supposed to hate tax collectors. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. Jude picks his nose. I just threw that in. I don't know. That's not biblically correct. I don't know. But how about Mary's questionable character? And her sister Martha. She's so bossy. Can you believe how the sons of Zebedee had their mother ask Jesus for positions of importance? It's human nature, isn't it? They had to look beyond personal feelings. They had to look beyond themselves and look towards the establishing of the kingdom of God. In the beginning of Acts, we see that to a certain extent. They still weren't perfect in it, but yet they were gathered together all with one accord. That means they were in agreement. You have to find common ground, things that you're in agreement with. If you're a soldier in a foxhole with another soldier, do you complain about him being there? You know, he might be keeping you alive. We're all fighting the enemy, aren't we? We're all in foxholes, too, fighting a war. John 13:14. You know, there's three times in the Bible where God had someone take the shoes off their feet. Can anybody name them? Moses at the burning bush. Joshua, just before the Battle of Jericho. And I gave you a hint of who the third one was. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. In order to wash their feet, they had to take their shoes off, didn't they? And I realized that this morning. I was thinking about this. We have to wash, we have to take our shoes off from time to time. We do it during Communion Sunday. That's what we do here, Communion Sunday. We take our shoes off because you know what? We've been walking in the world and the world is filthy. We need to take those shoes off and we need to have our feet washed. Jesus said in John 13:14, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Literally. But the toenails are really ugly. Shouldn't matter, should it? What does he mean by washing one another's feet? It means humbling yourself and serving your brother. I believe it also means something else. It means forgiving him. It means overlooking trivial things you dislike about him or her. And they are trivial. Compared with the kingdom of God, compared with what Jesus forgave in me, I have no reason to complain about anybody. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. When was this? As I said, it was in John 13. But they were having dinner. They were having the Last Supper. They were having the celebrating the Passover Supper. But they were also, because Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me," they were observing communion. Communion talks about getting along. It talks about our communion with God, first and foremost, but also our communion with one another. Communion. That's what it's about. Now, if I can find it. I normally have it already turned there. This pulpit needs to be just a little bit wider. Oh, well. Things aren't always perfect. Have you noticed that? But they will be. When we're perfected. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 23 through 32. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That means not knowing or caring or being in any way affected by his sacrifice for us. That's what not discerning his body means. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Jesus in Luke 22:15 said, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." You know, it always gets my attention when he repeats himself. "With desire, I have desired." What does that tell you? that tells you just how important this is to him. Because even though he's not physically here with us, he's still observing this with us, isn't he? Because that's part of communion. It's with one another, but it's also with him. Communion. Is this an external or an internal observation? Observance. It's both. It's external for the witness. It's speaking something out. The things we speak out and the things we do have an incredible effect in the spiritual realm, by the way. But it's also internal. It's what we say to ourselves. It's a recommitment. It's a refocusing. It's recharging our energy. I heard of a man once that wanted to get closer to the Lord, and he felt the urge to celebrate communion, just him and the Lord. And all he had was a hot dog bun and a can of Coca-Cola. So he used that. Is that wrong? No. Whatever we have that we bring to God with faith is accepted. If that's all we have, that's all we have. The bread. Is it leavened or unleavened? During Passover, it was unleavened. But yet it represents Jesus Christ, so which would best represent him? If you read the Bible, you'll notice that there's actually a second Passover that's celebrated a month after for those that couldn't. They were unclean, or for some reason, maybe they touched a dead body or something, they couldn't observe it. So the next month, they were allowed to. The next month, they use leavened bread, though. But the first one, they use unleavened. But they both represent Jesus Christ. Jesus was without sin. Leaven represents sin. Jesus had no sin. But yet when he was nailed to that cross for us, he took our sin upon him. So they both represent him. The cup. What are we asked to do? We're asked to take this cup. Cup usually is unpleasant in the Bible. Jesus said, if it's your will, take this cup from me. So I don't have to go through this. Sometimes the cup is what we have to go through. But it also represents the blood that he shed. Is what we're receiving physically nourishing? That's going to fill you up, isn't it? Maybe I'll hold you over till you get home and eat that pot roast in the crock pot. No, that's not gonna physically nourish you. How about spiritually? Yeah. It's spiritually nourishing. He says, take, eat, drink. It means partake of, receive. It's given to you. Why do we do this as a remembrance? To keep it fresh in our minds. Why don't we do it every day? Because we don't want it to get commonplace. We do once a month. We could do every 6 months, but then we might forget about it. It just gets off there in the distance somewhere, lost in the fog, and we... Once a month seems to work real well for us. This is more than just remembering, though. This is a celebration. Because it represents the Lamb of God that died to take away the sins of the world. That's us. He died for our sins. In verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. It tells us we're supposed to do this frequently. as often as you drink. How often? Says my notes. I've already covered that. But we are also supposed to do this perpetually. You show the Lord's death until He comes. We don't do it once and that's it. No, we have to do it. It's like washing your feet. We have to have our feet washed continually, don't we? Some of us more than others. We are to do this worthily, it says in verse 27. Or actually, we're not supposed to do it unworthily. What is unworthily? Unrepentance, unconfessed sin, disbelief, alienation from God and from all His ways. And also, if you read a little bit before this, there's something in there about getting along with each other, too. But you know, we're people. We fall into traps and we let things get to us. But every once in a while, we've got to step back and we've got to look at what's going on. We've got to look at where our heart is towards other people. And we've got to make the decision that, no, I love that person too much. God has a purpose and a plan for everyone in this room. Do you believe that? He does. Verse 28 says, examine yourself. Now I'm going to ask Brother George and Brother Bill to come forward and hand out the elements. And while they're being handed out, just close your eyes and try to get as close to God as you can. You know, climb right up into His lap. He'll probably even let you pull His beard. Examine your heart. And whatever He speaks to you that you need to deal with, then you need to deal with it. Let Him bring it to your mind. The main thing you need to do is make sure that you are one of His. You need to sincerely ask Him to forgive your sins and be your Savior. I'm not going to go through the whole procedure that a lot of people put out there, but that's what it is. It's a decision that you make. Just tell Him you want to be His, and you need forgiveness, and you need Him for your Savior.